The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Revenge is sweet or evil or empty, according to the feelings of the writer at the moment he or she created the story of revenge. However, there's no denying that the literature of the world abounds in stories of diabolical revenge which are eagerly read. I myself have shuddered deliciously at many great stories of revenge, but I can honestly say that I have never read a more blood-chilling story of revenge than the one I bring you today.
No, I'm not interested in any of the other objects you've shown me. It's the dagger that I want.
Sahib, I have no wish to displease you, but I cannot sell you that dagger.
Why not?
Because this is a dagger that drinks blood and can be sold only to one who thirsts for blood. You are not such a one. This is the dagger of the assassin. The dagger that finds its own victim and never fails to kill.
Our mystery drama, The Dagger of Almohades, was adapted from the Arthur Conan Doyle classic, especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett, and stars John Lithgow and Patricia Elliott. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Now, one of the last great mysteries of World War II is revealed. What took place in Hitler's bunker? On Tuesday, CBS Television presents a startling look at the final days of Eva Braun and Adolf Hitler.
I will defeat them all. I will defy the entire world.
Anthony Hopkins and Susan Blakely star in The Bunker, Tuesday at 8, 7 Central and up on CBS Television.
Just what I need now that I drive a cab.
Here, try what I use. Preparation H.
You too?
Anybody can get hemorrhoids, especially people who sit a lot. But Preparation H often gives me fast, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch.
Sounds great.
You can help shrink swelling of tissues caused by inflammation.
I'll try it.
Seems good this week.
Yours is the best.
Preparation H relieves pain and itch, even helps shrink swelling. Use only as directed.
Hi, this is Andy Williams. I learned about the importance of donating blood when my mother became ill. Although most people could qualify as donors, many have not donated blood because they have not personally experienced the need, either for themselves or for those they care about. Presently, over 30,000 pints of blood are required in the United States every day, and the need is increasing. The balance between supply, demand, and human life depends on you, the public. Donors often respond when there is an emergency or a disaster, but blood of every group and type must be available at all times. Blood banks depend on people who are willing to give to meet the day-to-day blood needs. Donate today at a blood bank in your community. Blood is life. Let's keep it running.
A public service of this station and the American Association of Blood Banks.
Today I bring you a story of hatred deeper than the ocean depths. A story that started in India and finished in England. History records many assassination cults. One of the lesser known flourished in Turkey. Its members used a ritual dagger as their weapon, a fearsome blade known as the Dagger of Almohades.
My name is Lytton, Major John Lytton, formerly a surgeon with Her Majesty's troops in India. I'm a collector of Eastern curios. And although my intellect tells me that none of the happenings could be laid at my door, nevertheless, I wish to heaven I had never heard or seen the Dagger of Almohades. However, one hot afternoon in Benares, I had left the post to go on a shopping expedition, and I found and purchased this dagger. To my astonishment, the following afternoon, the merchant who'd sold it to me appeared at my dispensary on the post.
Yes, Sahib. A thousand pardons for disturbing you, but only the gravest of circumstances would make me come to your office.
Yes, 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 Mitraj. What's wrong?
The dagger I sold you yesterday, Sahib. It was a mistake.
Look, I have a number of patients waiting, Mitraj. Forget politeness and come to the point.
I must ask for it back.
What?
Of course, I will pay you not only the price you gave me, which was ridiculously small, but also I will give you a profit.
But I don't want to sell it. I bought it because I like it. I still like it.
I should never have sold the dagger. It was a mistake.
Well, it was your mistake, and you'll have to pay for it.
So please don't say that, Sahib. You do not know the price I shall have to pay.
Now, look, if you made a bad deal, I'm sorry, but the dagger is mine, and...
Sahib, it is my life we're talking about.
Nonsense.
And not only mine, but also yours, if you insist on keeping the dagger.
You're serious, aren't you?
Oh, I beg you to listen most attentively. As you know, this was not an Indian, but a Turkish dagger. It is known as the dagger of Almohades. It belongs to a sect of assassins. The dagger can belong only to one of them. If it should fall into other hands, they will get it back at any cost.
Well, how did you get it?
From some scoundrel who deceived me.
And what opened your eyes?
I had a visitor, Sahib. One I hope never has occasion to pay a call upon you. So do what is best for both of us and give me back the dagger.
I was due in surgery, and Mitraj had to be content with my promise to come to his shop in Benares that night. I made the promise because there had been a very real note of panic in Mitraj's voice as he spoke of the dagger.
Who's there?
Major Lytton.
Yes, Sahib. How kind of you to come. You have the dagger?
No.
Major, I am afraid it was most unwise of you to come without it.
Now, look, I'm not going along with you, Mitraj, until I get a complete explanation.
Oh, well, then, let me explain. The Almohades are a Turkish sect, religiously based, and these are ceremonial daggers.
You mean they are not functional? Well, I would have thought...
You didn't handle the blade, did you?
Well, I took it out of the scabbard, as you did when you showed it to me.
The blade is impregnated, Sahib, with a deadly, untraceable poison.
Where did you get all this wild stuff?
Shortly after I sold you the dagger, I had a visitor, a member of the sect. These daggers are never sold. They are handed down from father to son and are used only in ritual killings.
Well, then how did you come by it?
A thief stole the dagger and fled. He came to me among other dealers and took advantage of my ignorance. The owner also came to me looking for the dagger. I told him I had sold it. That is when he told me to get it back.
Now, how do you know that this owner was telling you the truth?
He had proof, Sahib. Another dagger. Exactly the same.
I see.
Also, he had an ear belonging to the man who had sold me the dagger.
Oh, come now, Mitra.
Oh, no, they also brought me the man, missing an ear. So please, Sahib, anything you want, I shall give you. Take your pick of anything in my poor shop. But please, I must have the dagger.
There was such panic in his voice that I relented and agreed that he should accompany me to the camp, and I'd return the dagger either for what I'd paid for it or in exchange for something from his shop. We reached my quarters and went to my chest where I'd stored the dagger.
Yes, I see you're a person of precise habits.
Yes.
Childhood training. Hello. This is strange. I never leave my shirts here. And I know I put the dagger under the shirts.
You're certain that it was in the chest, Sahib?
I'm positive. And it's not here now.
Well, perhaps you put it somewhere else. Somewhere for safekeeping.
You're grasping at straws, Mitraj. The dagger's gone. Someone has stolen it.
I think I should be going. It would be best for me to leave immediately.
The next time I saw Mitraj was in the Benares morgue. He had been stabbed to death. The dagger was never recovered. But Mitraj's murder brought another player upon the scene. Major General Tony Andreas, later to become Lord Andreas. I first met Tony when I'd been summoned to testify at the inquest on Mitraj.
Come in, Lytton, and please be so kind as to close the door behind you.
Thank you, sir.
Have a chair. I'm Major General Andreas. Rotten job taking care of personnel and records and handling all the legal nonsense that comes up. Now, what are these rumors I hear about some kind of involvement you had with this merchant, Mitraj?
Well, sir, I purchased a dagger from him. It was a curio. I collect Eastern objets d'art.
Was there anything special about this missing dagger?
Well, according to the murdered man, sir, it was a ritual dagger used by an assassination cult. The Almohades, I believe.
Not Indian in origin?
No, not at all. Turkish, I believe.
Fine. Then I don't believe that it will be necessary for you to mention this at the inquest. You agree?
Well, yes, sir. I can't see that it would serve any purpose.
Good. We're in agreement. I assume you won't object if I accompany you to the inquest.
Not at all, sir.
I really apologize, Major, for sort of horning in this way, but regulations are the very devil if you follow them, and even worse if you don't.
Yes, I understand, sir.
Tell me, Corporal, is this the office where the bad girls report?
That was the first time I heard the voice of Jennifer Wilson. But unfortunately, not the last, as she was to prove even more deadly than the dagger of Almohades. Tony Andreas later told me of her first meeting with him.
I had expected an office more suited to your rank as a major general.
This camp isn't as well equipped as Calcutta, Miss Wilson.
Please, call me Jennifer. And what's your first name?
I think that's a little out of line, considering the circumstances, Miss Wilson.
Don't tell me you're going to be one of those stuffy English army officers who don't do anything but quote regulations and huff and puff when you even show an ankle.
Are you trying to shock me, Miss Wilson?
Not at all. Since I was practically ordered to come here, I'm asserting my independence. I don't like being ordered.
The order didn't come from me. And you, above all, should understand the reason for it.
I don't think you need worry. Not many men will kill for love.
Not many. But there are also very few women as beautiful as you.
Oh, well, gallantry. I didn't expect it. Now tell me, sir, am I here to receive instructions from you to see to it that army officers do not fall in love with me?
It should be obvious to you that what happened on the military base in Calcutta was close to a national scandal.
Well, that depends on one's point of view.
And what's yours?
In the Middle Ages, it was quite common for knights to joust for the favors of a lady. I find it romantic that two men were so much in love with me that they fought a duel. It is regrettable one of them died.
This isn't the Middle Ages, and dueling is a criminal offense in the British Army.
Isn't a soldier's business the killing?
Would you consider it tactless if I asked you what were your feelings toward these young men?
Not at all. I liked them both. I promised them nothing. If they chose to fight over me, that was their business.
I see. The army has made it my business to tell you that it is completely within my discretion to decide upon the length of your stay with your uncle. If at any time your actions lead me to believe your presence here would cause trouble, you will be asked to leave. Is that understood?
Perfectly, sir. It would seem that I should try to be very nice to you, shouldn't I?
Oh,
There's an old saying prevalent among Middle Europeans which goes, with friends like that, who needs enemies? In retrospect, Major General Tony Andreas should have run, not walked, away from Jennifer Wilson. But we'll return to him and the lady shortly in Act Two.
Look, Grandma, I drew a picture of your hand.
Lovely, dear, but what are all those dots?
Those brown spots on your hand, Grandma.
Oh.
Where do you get them? I don't have any.
Well, Father Time gave them to me, Janie. When even children notice those age spots on your hands, better try Porcelana Medicated Fade Cream. Works on age spots, sun freckles, and brown spots associated with childbearing years. Just rub it in. Watch those dark spots start to fade. Porcelana works in just 8 weeks. Porcelana is available at cosmetic counters everywhere.
Grandma, what happened to your brown spot? You hardly have any anymore.
Well, when Father Time found out I was using Porcelana cream on my hands, he took most of them back.
Porcelana. Just rub it in. Watch those age spots, sun freckle spots, and brown spots start to fade. Porcelana Medicated Cream. Use only as directed.
Person to person, heart to heart, together we can move the world if we do our part by helping care for the children, nourish them to heal those in need. Care for the children of the world if we each help one needy child today. Tomorrow for children everywhere.
Please send your check or money order to CARE, Box 576, New York 10156, or local care office.
Wondered what makes a woman a femme fatale. Perhaps, like beauty, it is only in the eye of the beholder. One thing is certain. From Salome to Cleopatra, through the Empress Josephine and Mata Hari, the femme fatale draws men to their doom effortlessly and sometimes innocently. It's for you to judge whether or not Jennifer Wilson's actions were innocent as we continue our tale of love, hate, and revenge.
Obviously, the arrival of any beautiful young Englishwoman such as Jennifer Wilson in Benares would have made tongues wag. But her reputation and her behavior caused a sensation, particularly since it was obvious that Major General Andreas took more than just an official interest in her.
Sorry to be so frightfully late, Tony, but I've just had a most unpleasant experience.
My dear Jen, I've learned in these last few weeks that there are two kinds of time. Regular time and Jennifer time. According to the latter, you're not late at all. Our appointment was at 4 o'clock, and it's now just 4:45.
You've been in Benares far longer than I. Are all shopkeepers either sinister or superstitious?
Whom do you want me to punish, and why?
I hate to be teased, Tony. This was really strange.
Then let's have tea, and you'll tell me about it. I took the liberty of ordering.
Well, I just adore those little curio shops, and I went into one in a side street because I was attracted by a bracelet in the window. The man would not sell me the bracelet unless I also bought the dagger.
What on earth are you talking about?
He said he'd been expecting me. And then he showed me this dagger, a curved, dangerous-looking weapon in which I had no interest at all. He insisted that I should buy it.
Wait a moment. Can you give me a more detailed description of this dagger?
Only that it was very ugly. Something that I would never want.
Well, maybe we should go back to the store together. I'd like to look at that dagger.
Why?
It's something that happened before you came to Benares. It has nothing to do with you.
Well, then why did that horrible old man keep insisting I should buy it? He kept hinting I should buy it for protection. Well, why would I need protection? And from whom?
Let's go find that store.
Sahib Mim, Sahib, how may I serve you?
I'm interested in that dagger you showed the young lady earlier today.
I fail to understand.
Oh, please. I was in here earlier looking at that bracelet you have in the window, and you kept showing me this dagger.
Dagger? Are you sure you have the right shop? After all, there are so many shops in...
Now, look here. This young lady is a friend of mine. She has no reason to lie about this matter.
What? Sahib, that is a word that would never cross my lips in relation to either you or the Mem Sahib. But please reflect a moment. I am a merchant. I have things to sell. I am anxious to sell. Why would I deny having knowledge of something you wanted to buy?
Tony, this is ridiculous. If he chooses to deny what happened here...
Would I not also remember Mem Sahib as beautiful as you? Of course. You are distinctive, but shops are so much alike.
Have you ever heard of the dagger of Almohades?
Merchants give many names to all sorts of weapons, names that are mysterious and intriguing. It helps sales. But no, Sahib, I have never heard of any such dagger.
Andreas reported this curious incident to me, but I soon forgot it. We were having casualties from an insurrection in the mountains, and I was very busy. In addition, Tony Andreas's father died, and Major General Andreas became Lord Andreas, inheriting the title of his father. This triggered a startling change in his relationship with Jennifer Wilson. It happened shortly after he returned from leave to attend the funeral in England, when they met at a social event in Benares.
Have you been avoiding me, Tony? Or should I now call you Milord?
Tony will do. Now should I call you Jennifer or Milady?
What? Are you saying what I think you're saying?
If you think I'm proposing, then I'm saying what you think. Jen, this is the first time I've ever seen you at a loss for words. Don't tell me you're surprised. You knew how I felt about you.
Of course.
Well?
But I think I'd like some air. Shall we step outside?
Of course. Still tongue-tied?
I've just never thought of myself as a wife. I don't think that we should be married.
I love you, Jen. And you're the first woman I've ever said that to.
Oh, Tony, how many women have you known?
I know you can't understand why I haven't made more of my opportunities with women, but frankly, until I met you, I found most women boring.
As I'm afraid I shall find marriage. Craves excitement and change, not a house and servants in Belgrave Square.
I think I'll be able to make you change your mind.
What? What? Oh, now what is it? If that's you, Tony, I don't find this romantic. You're disturbing my...
Spagley!
What are you doing here?
I followed you, my love. Don't think I'm going to let you go.
It isn't your choice.
I killed a man for you, and I don't intend to stand out here under your window arguing. Now, come down. Let me in.
Oh, ridiculous. What will my uncle say?
All these months, and I'll wager you never even gave me a thought.
Now and then some questions pass through my mind.
Come down. I'll answer them for you.
No. We're not picking up where we left off.
What do you think kept me going all these months? The thought that we'd be together again, and now we are.
I thought you were going to tell me what you've been doing since you left the army.
You put it so beautiful, my beautiful. Left the army. You mean after I was thrown out?
thrown out because I wouldn't share you with another.
Your choice, not mine.
Right. You, Jennifer, you were always my choice. And I'm here to claim you. You're mine.
You still haven't learned that I belong to no one.
Oh, not even the new Lord Andreas.
You know about Tony.
I've been keeping tabs. I've made a bundle, Jennifer. And I can make a lot more with your help.
You mean using me as bait in one of your schemes?
Don't call it a scheme. It's a magnificent stratagem. It'll make us rich.
Don't count on me.
Let me tell you what I've been doing. I made a contact with a friend of a Maharaja. A good friend who has access to rubies and diamonds and other valuable gems. Look, they brought you a present. Here.
Exquisite. There are strings to it.
Definitely.
Well, I'll need time to think.
Well, now you just come into my arms and you'll have all the time in the world.
No.
You mean it, don't you?
Yes.
All right. But while you're thinking, think about what I can do to your reputation. And don't think I won't. If you choose against me.
Oh, that was great fun, Tony.
Oh, you really enjoy riding, don't you?
It's exciting. Yes, I like it.
I have stables and horses at my country place.
Oh, Tony, an old friend of mine is in Benares.
If you're referring to Liam Bagley, I know.
You know, I think sometimes I underrate you.
Not me, my dear. The army. We have kept track of fellows like Bagley.
Not our sort of chap at all, eh, my lord?
Is he yours, Jen?
He was.
I see.
Shall we rest the horses and sit a while before we ride back?
Why not? Here, let me give you a hand.
No, thank you. But I don't need any help.
You're the most graceful woman I've ever seen.
And the most trouble.
I sometimes think I wouldn't love you if you weren't. If Bagley is really annoying you, we can get rid of him, you know.
Can you get rid of him?
I'm not happy about him. But anything you did before we met is past and doesn't concern me. I live here and now and for the future.
And I just here and now.
The shopkeeper was lying, you know.
What?
You keep telling me how untrustworthy you are. Of course, it's not true. You're painfully honest. So I went back to the shopkeeper, and I persuaded him to tell the truth. I also purchased the dagger. You may have it if you want it.
No. No, it frightens me. But, well, I suppose I should thank you. I do thank you, Tony.
I'm here to see that you're not frightened, Jen. I'd like to be with you always, and you need never be frightened.
Oh, Tony.
Jen, my lovely Jen.
Who's that? Is there someone there? I'm coming down with the light, so there's no sense in trying to hide.
Darn it.
So it's you, Liam. Oh, what are you doing here?
Now, that's a pretty cool reception for a man who took a wax impression in order to get a key to let me in to see you.
You wouldn't have thought of walking up and ringing the bell.
You know me, love. Extra keys always come in handy.
Liam, it is over between us.
Not on your life. When I shot and killed Williams and torpedoed my army career, we were bound together forever.
Only in your mind.
And in my heart and soul.
Keep away from me. I'll call for help.
I know your uncle's away at a meeting, and I also know the servants are gone. So I'll give you a choice. I have horses and a carriage waiting. You can either pack your things and get dressed, or come with me the way you are.
I'm warning you, Liam. Keep your distance.
Remember the last time you warned me to keep my hands off, did you?
Liam, it's no use.
I like it when you fight and scratch. What's this?
A pistol. My beautiful Jane has taken to carrying a pistol.
Let her go, Bagley. Now.
Why, of course. Well, if it isn't the very model of a model, Major General. Or is it Lord Andreas you prefer?
Get out.
Oh, you disappoint me, sir. I was given to understand work would keep you...
You were misinformed. I thought it best to follow you. I was right.
Well, we'll see about that.
No, we won't.
Go on.
Get up.
If I get up, Major General, my lord, sir, you'll be sorry. Because I learned my fighting in the back streets of Dublin.
On your feet.
Watch yourself, my lord. I'm no gentleman.
Neither am I.
Very good, sir. But this time I'll go for the king. Oh, Jennifer. I should have known. From the day I met you, I was looking at my own death.
An argument between a man and a woman as to which of the sexes had the most problems came to a surprising end when the man insisted that men have more problems. When asked to prove it, he said simply, "It's obvious. Men have to put up with women." I would add, men don't have to. They choose to, just as Lord Andreas has made a choice.
What do doctors recommend to avoid constipation? These days, doctors stress the importance of fiber in the diet. Food fiber that helps the system regulate itself naturally. Metamucil is the laxative made from natural fiber. No chemical stimulants. So for occasional constipation, doctors recommend Metamucil more often than any other laxative. The way to overcome constipation is the natural way. But if not nature, Metamucil. Read label and follow directions.
Hi, I'm Charlie Daniels, and I'm very concerned about hunger in our world. Every minute, 21 children die because they don't have enough to eat. There is enough food to go around for everybody. What's needed now is for each of us to care enough to get involved in this issue. Now, I know you care. What can you do? Write politicians about your concern and support hunger organizations. Thank you.
For further information, write Impact on Hunger, 145 East 49th Street, New York, New York, 10017.
The Poster Gallery announces the formation of an art design firm specializing in the development of corporate art programs. Studies have shown the treatment of the working environment can improve morale and productivity. Art also helps to communicate an image, be it dynamic or conservative, and at the same time reflects a company's involvement with the public. All very good reasons to contact the Poster Gallery immediately. The Poster Gallery, at no charge to their clients, will incorporate all elements of good composition with your budget requirements to provide an art program that's just right for you. Again, regardless of budget, the Poster Gallery works to help corporations acquire the best art available to meet their needs. Their experienced staff will take responsibility for your framing, delivery, installation, appraisals, and commissions. Art, if selected carefully, can be an investment regardless of price, something of beauty and lasting value. Allow yourself the luxury of expert advice. Call or stop in at the Poster Gallery, Walnut Street, Shadyside. It's the brightest, most exciting second floor in town.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was not noted for his female characters, perhaps because his two men, Holmes and Watson, were so overpoweringly real. However, he did create two memorable women, Irene Adler in A Scandal in Bohemia and Jennifer Wilson in today's story. There is an interesting difference. Although Irene Adler was Holmes' worthy opponent, she was essentially moral, whereas Jennifer Wilson is one of fiction's most amoral women.
Oh, he's dead. Liam is dead.
Yes, Jennifer. You're an excellent shot. But was it really necessary?
Well, Tony, I wasn't sure you would win.
You shot him to protect me?
Partly.
That won't do.
What?
There will be an inquiry. Once again, you're involved. Luckily, I can testify that Bagley was attacking you. You should be acquitted.
And you?
You're concerned about me.
You were protecting me. You fought for me.
I had intended to resign my commission anyway. Go back to London. And there I had hoped to be married.
And so in a glittering wedding that was a great social event, Jennifer Wilson and Lord Anthony Andreas were married. The beauteous Lady Andreas was the sensation of London society, and for a short time things went well for the handsome new couple. But events took an ugly turn when Lady Andreas met Sir Gerald Stone, the most brilliant surgeon in London. They met at a charity ball.
May I cut in?
Why, of course.
Sir, I don't even know you. But I'm aware that you've been staring at me most of the evening.
Yes, feasting my eyes. I now regret that I took my vacation abroad. Allow me to introduce myself. Sir Gerald Stone.
Lady Andreas.
Yes, I know. I intend to call you Jennifer.
Really?
Yes, and that's not all I intend either.
You're aware, of course, that I'm recently married.
It's unimportant.
To you or to me?
To both of us.
You're very sure of yourself.
Well, why not?
I'm not in need of surgery, Sir Gerald.
Oh, no, of course not. You're in need of entertainment. Meet me at Dunstan's in half an hour.
And that was how it started. A liaison that had all London talking. The most famous surgeon in London, handsome, debonair, and society's most glamorous beauty. Neither of them made any attempt at secrecy, and their behavior was brazen, to say the least. Of course, Lord Andreas could not help but see what was happening.
Going out again, Jen?
Yes.
I can't say you didn't warn me.
About what, love?
About marriage not being your dish of tea.
Oh, you're disturbed about Sir Gerald.
The devil with Sir Gerald. It's you who scares me, Jen.
You ought to know by now, Tony, I'm like a cat. I always land on my feet.
You have a lot of feline qualities, Jen. But even a cat has only 9 lives. How many escapes have you had?
I haven't kept track.
You should, Jennifer. You're walking very close to the line.
Ah, threat, Tony, my dear. I should think if you're contemplating any action, you should deal with Sir Gerald.
Ah, you'd like that, wouldn't you? 2 more men fighting over you.
You know, Tony, I'd really like to see someone go up against Gerald. He's terribly conceited and terribly strong.
I don't intend to oblige you.
That's a pity. Meanwhile, I have to run. Oh, don't wait up for me.
I shan't. But, Jen, remember, you've been warned.
The scandal grew to such proportions that I felt constrained to speak to Sir Gerald Stone about it. I was no longer in the army and was practicing medicine in London. My practice had brought me in close contact with Stone. We were associated with the same hospital.
Well, good to see you, Lytton. I assume you want to talk to me about my relationship with Andrew's wife.
Well, I must say you take it coolly.
Well, what other way is there to take it? Jennifer knows exactly what she's doing, and so do I. If Andreas can't hold his wife, don't blame me.
Well, she isn't thinking of leaving, Tony, is she?
Oh, I should hope not. I'm not looking for marriage. And if I were, Jennifer would be my last choice. She's too restless. She's a marvelous companion, but...
Have you heard from Andreas?
No, not a word, not a word. Not that it would make any difference. Were you going to ask me to give her up, Lytton? Was that what you had in mind?
I really don't know. I was hoping that perhaps I could persuade you.
Well, put it out of your mind. Well, I admit I can't see the end of this affair yet, but it will end. And then a new scandal will be on everyone's tongue and it will be forgotten.
Yes, perhaps.
Who the devil would that be calling at this hour?
If you'd care to go to the door,
I... No need to. My housekeeper will answer.
Yes?
I must see Dr. Stone.
It's past his office hours and the doctor's going out.
At once, it is a matter of life and death. Here is my card.
Oh, I can't promise anything, but come into the waiting room. I'll go into the doctor's study and tell him you're here.
Thank you, but please do it quickly. There is so little time.
Yes, what is it?
A patient who insists on seeing you, doctor. A foreign gentleman.
Well, didn't you tell him it was after hours?
Please, doctor, I assure you this is a matter of life and death, a matter that cannot wait and needs your immediate attention.
Oh, come in, but make it fast. Now, what's the problem? You look healthy enough to me.
It is not I, sir. It is my wife. She is the one who so desperately needs you. You're the only man in the world who can save her life.
I give my housekeeper your address. I'll come round in the morning. I have an engagement tonight.
The morning will be too late. Here, in this purse, there are 100 gold pieces. And they are yours. Only save my wife.
But I have no idea what's wrong with her.
I will tell you. I also promise it will not take you more than 1 hour.
Well, how can you make such a promise? Are you a physician?
I am a dealer in curios, Sahib. That is why I came to London. I have done good business. Next week, I go back for more things, but I did not succeed in selling everything this trip. Have you ever heard of the dagger of Almohades, Sahib?
Please, confine yourself to what is necessary.
You will see that it is necessary, most necessary. Today, my wife fell down in a faint in the room in which I keep my wares, and she cut her lower lip upon this accursed dagger.
Oh, yes, I say, sir. Well, you wish me to dress the wound.
No, it is far worse than that, Sahib. These daggers are poisoned.
Poisoned?
That is the sadness. There is no man living, no physician, east or west, who can tell now what is the poison or what the cure. I know this because my father was in his trade before me, and we had much business with these poisoned weapons.
What are the symptoms?
Deep sleep and death in 30 hours.
But if, as you say, there is no cure, why should you pay me this enormous fee?
An old drug can cure. But the knife may.
How?
The poison is slow of absorption. It remains for some hours in the wound.
Well, then it might be cleansed by washing.
No, it is too subtle and too deadly.
Excision of the wound, then?
Yes, Sahib. If it be the finger, take the finger off. So said my father always. But when I think of where this wound is, and that it is my wife, it is a dreadful thing to think upon.
Well, if what you say is correct, it is better to lose a lip than life.
I fear the Sahib speaks the truth. Let us go. I have a cab waiting.
Well, it's rather dark in here.
It's the room where I keep my wares. I thought it best not to move her. We can light more candles.
Yes, well, please do so. And boil some water. We'll need sterilization.
At once.
Is that the patient on the couch over there?
That is my wife. I pray to Allah you may help her.
Yes, as I see, she's already in the sleep you described. Now I shall have to lift the veil.
No, it is forbidden. For men of our faith, the yashmak must stay on. You can see the wound on the lower lip below the veil.
Well, I don't like it, but, if you insist...
It is not I, but my faith that makes the rules.
Yes, well, very well, very well. Would you open my bag and hand me the green bottle you'll find there?
What is in the bottle?
Chloroform.
Alas, that is also forbidden to us. It is a spirit, and we make no use of such things.
You don't mean to tell me that you're going to have your wife undergo an operation without an anesthetic?
She will feel nothing, Sahib. Already the deep sleep of the poison has come on. Also, I have given her of our Smyrna opium.
This wound, it, shows no signs of irritation.
I beg you, do not trifle. You do not know. It is deadly, this poison. Only the knife can save her.
Yes, well, nevertheless, I am inclined to wait.
Sahib, forgive me if I speak sharply. I know too well that you are the greatest surgeon in England, but that is why I have paid you a small fortune. But I cannot stand here and allow my wife to sink into the death
coma, but the disfigurement will be frightful.
It is kismet. Her mouth will not be a pretty one to kiss. But she will live, Sahib. She will live.
Well, very well. If you feel that strongly, bring the water. I'll sterilize my instruments. Oh, now, I'll need some assistance. Will you be able to help me?
Anything to save her life. I am yours to command.
There, that's the last sutra. She should be all right now. Except, of course, for the disfigurement.
You are truly a remarkable surgeon, Sahib. Your hands are swift and sure.
Thank you. I'll just pack my bag and be on my way to my appointment.
I don't think you'll have far to go, Sir Gerald.
What? Well, you're talking like an Englishman now. What's happened to your accent?
No longer necessary, Sir Gerald. Permit me to introduce myself. Under this beard and this ridiculous tarbush and robes, I'm Tony Andreas.
Andreas? Well, what are you up to in that disguise? Is this some sort of practical joke?
Like the accent, the yashmak is no longer necessary. If you remove it, you'll see that you've kept your appointment with Jennifer after all.
You... Oh, no, you didn't. No man could stand by and see his wife mutilated, maimed.
Lift the veil, Doctor, and look on your handiwork.
Oh, Lord, what have I done? What have I done to you, Jennifer?
I compliment you, Sir Gerald, on a very professional job.
That night, I received a telephone call from Sir Gerald Stone's housekeeper. She told me that Lord Andreas had brought him home in a pitiable condition and begged me to come at once. When I arrived at his house, I found a babbling wreck of what had once been a man. A man who'd completely lost his senses. As for Lady Andreas, all London wondered why she entered a convent and was never seen again.
Revenge, which is often taken in real life, should properly be left to writers. They have created more varied and more horrible forms of vengeance than any that reality can give us. Certainly, the revenge devised by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle for the wife of Lord Andreas is as diabolical and appropriate as any in my experience. I'll be back shortly.
Before you fit into our uniform, you'll run 100 miles. You'll strengthen muscles you never knew you had. And you'll study things you've never studied before. Then you'll fit the dress blues uniform of a United States Marine. Maybe you can be one of us. The few, the proud, the Marines.
If you're a retailer, you need customer traffic now. Radio is the hot traffic builder. This station will tell you how the right message, the right promotion, the right schedule can make your sales grow fast. Every day, radio reaches more adults than newspapers, TV, or magazine. So get radio sending the people your way. Heat up customer traffic and sales now. Radio, it's red hot. Get more facts. Call this station or the Radio Advertising Bureau. They brought you this message.
I do not know whether the dagger of Almohades actually exists. I doubt whether Conan Doyle himself could tell us. But remember, the old merchant who insisted that the dagger was bound up with the life of Jennifer Wilson? I think that Conan Doyle believed, along with Robert Herrick, that there is no armor against fate. And it was Jennifer's destiny to be destroyed by the dagger of Almohades. Our cast included Patricia Elliott, John Lithgow, Court Benson, and Earl Hammond.
The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
So that's why you decided to give up the game, huh?
Yes, Lieutenant, I had no choice.
No, I guess you could say it gave me up. Just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
And you never regretted it.
The lieutenant is an idiot. But I had to talk to him. Of course I regretted it. A moment hasn't gone by that I haven't regretted it. But how can I tell that to him or anyone else? How can I tell him that I regretted it so deeply, so badly, that last night it finally all exploded inside of me? And I killed her.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Service has a number of job openings, and it may be able to help place you in one of them. The Pittsburgh Job Service is looking for secretaries to operate data speed machines and printers. To qualify, you must be able to type 50 words per minute and take shorthand at 80 words per minute. There's work in the North Hills area for a pizza baker. This job requires 3 months' experience and that you have your own transportation to work. Applications for these jobs are being taken by the Pittsburgh Job Service office located at 921 Penn Avenue, downtown. A clerk stenographer with good typing skills is needed for a job in the South Hills area, and a machine operator with 4 years' experience is needed to operate horizontal and vertical lathes, boring machines, grinders, and other machines. Applications for these two jobs are being taken at the South Office of the Job Service. It's located at 918 Park Avenue in Castle Shannon.
From the KQV Weather Center, here's the Pittsburgh forecast. Windy and turning cooler tonight, a low temperature in the upper 30s. Breezy tomorrow with a chance of snow flurries tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. And it'll be cold again, variably cloudy and cold on Wednesday. Temperatures steady to slowly falling into the 30s on Tuesday. Lows tomorrow night in the low 20s. Wednesday's high expected to be in the upper 20s. Extended outlook, partly cloudy Thursday, colder with a chance of snow Friday and Saturday. Right now in Pittsburgh, skies are partly cloudy. The temperature reading downtown, 40 degrees. KQV News Time, 11 o'clock. The news service continues now from CBS. This is KQV Pittsburgh.
CBS News. One of the former hostages tried to commit suicide during the 444-day ordeal in Iran. So says career diplomat Moorhead Kennedy. I'm Alan Shaw, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kennedy, an economic officer at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, told CBS News correspondent Chris Kelly at West Point that on the night of February 3rd, his door was flung open and he was dragged out into the cold, stripped to his underwear with 17 other hostages, and spread-eagled against a wall. The militants, wearing masks, shouted and pulled the elastic of their underwear. Twang, twang, says Kennedy, adding, it was the night of the mock firing squad, and we prayed to be shot in the head, not in the spine. Then Kennedy tells CBS News Chris Kelly, we wrongly thought the terror was over.
We found that our room was shambles. They had given us a shakedown. My razor, which I had fought for hard and long, because the Iranians didn't believe in shaving, and I like to shave, that was taken. My necktie, which I had been captured in and was kind of a lucky, become a lucky charm for me, that was gone. Anything that somebody could commit suicide with, in short, was taken away. And I learned afterwards that there had been a suicide attempt, and therefore the shakedown.
Do you know who tried to commit suicide?
Yes. I think we all did. But
can you tell us?
I would think I would really rather not.
Former hostage Kennedy says despite the ordeal, he has developed a certain serenity he did not have before. We survived pretty darn well, he says. Kennedy also praised former President Carter's handling of the crisis, saying it shamed the Iranians. If we had responded militarily, says Kennedy, they would have been martyred and would have won their point. More CBS News after this.
If you'd like to take advantage of the current high interest rates in today's money market, but want your money available when you need it, take a moment now to call this toll-free number, 800-228-5000. Ask the operator to send you information on Dreyfus Liquid Assets. Find out just how much income growth you can get from one of the world's largest money market mutual funds. With Dreyfus Liquid Assets, you have the advantage of making withdrawals by phone or paying larger bills with free redemption checks and continue earning high yields compounded daily till your check clears. You can put money in or take it out anytime with never a sales charge or a penalty. But call now, 800-228-5000 for free information and a prospectus, including management fee, charges, and expenses. 800-228-5000. Study the prospectus carefully before you invest and learn how Dreyfus Liquid Assets can help you get the lion's share from today's high interest rates. 800-228-5000. Toll free, 800-228-5000.
Also at West Point, former hostage Jerry Plotkin talked with Patty Ecker of CBS News affiliate KNXT-TV Los Angeles.
Jerry Plotkin said he was in the Tehran embassy coincidentally on November the 4th, 1979, getting information about setting up a new business when the militants took over. At West Point tonight, the 44-year-old Los Angeles businessman rejected the idea that his captors were students.
I think perhaps they had attended the university, but when a student takes a gun in his hand, I don't think he's a student any longer. I think he's a terrorist. I think the treatment was horrible from the first moment we were taken. I saw no improvements as we went along, except in the sense that after several months, we were given a deck of cards to play, you know.
Tomorrow, Jerry Plotkin and the rest of the hostages will meet President Reagan. Plotkin says he plans to say to the president, "Thank you, Mr. President. It's great to be home." Patty Ecker for CBS News, West Point.
When President Reagan greets the returnees at the White House Tuesday, he's expected to give a general view on how the U.S. will handle future attacks on U.S. embassies. Mr. Reagan signed a proclamation making Thursday a day of thanksgiving for the return of the former hostages and said that the declaration salutes the unity of the nation. Mr. Reagan says the hostages show that the spirit of our country can never be broken. War continues between Iran and Iraq, with fierce battles reported in the oil-rich Khuzestan province of Iran. Peace talks with Iraq have again been ruled out by Tehran. As usual, both sides claiming military gains and great losses for the other side. And now this.